¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense. Stay tuned to find out why Chicago's top realtors are choosing Dan Frio.
Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio. And today we have a friend of mine. He is an underwriter for us. His name's Jack. And what he does is, we all know that there was a crash years ago. And what he underwrites, the kind of loans that he underwrites for us, and today's topic is going to be different programs for different people that don't qualify for what we call the standard mortgages. Mortgages such as conventional loans, FHA, VA, and things like that. So we're going to have him on the show with me. He's here with me now. But again, this is Dan Frio of the Mortgage Update. You hear me daily, probably about 10 to 15 times on AM 1160. If you want to reach me personally, you can call, and there's a theme to all this, as you get every night when I'm going through it with you. It's, you can reach me at 630-338-1160, or you can find me on the web at 1160mortgage.com. So you see the theme there. So welcome, Jack. I want to thank you so much for coming in today, because I think this can open a lot of doors for a lot of people.
Thanks, Dan. So, it's great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, and then what we'll do is what we're going to dive in today with is helping self-employed people. And Jack's going to go over, we have a program that helps the self-employed. And if you're self-employed, you'll get this, because if you've tried to get a mortgage in the past, you've probably hit brick wall after brick wall after brick wall. So Jack's going to show us a specific program that he can help underwrite for us to help get you into mortgages and get you into loans that can help you out tremendously. So go ahead, Jack. Tell us a little about yourself. How long you been in the business? What do you do?
Sure. So I've been in the business for over 25 years now, and I'm kind of like the guy behind the scenes that help borrowers get loans that don't even know I exist.
Right.
So when somebody comes to a loan officer and they don't fit for a traditional loan, there are options out there. When you think back before the housing crash happened with the recession, there were a variety of loan programs out there that, you know, a lot of people, you know, remember as, you know, bad loans, meaning subprime and Alt-A loans, but they weren't necessarily all bad.
Right.
Just some of them got to be too aggressive. So what I now do is, you know, I allow, you know, borrowers who don't fit those, you know, guidelines that would be standard for, say, a very vanilla bank, you know, to come to a loan officer like yourself and get financing. So
gotcha.
On the self-employed borrower, what a lot of people have found is the options available to them when the housing market crashed, they really diminished. So when you talk to somebody who's self-employed, you know, oftentimes they'll say, well, I make this amount of money.
Yeah.
However, when you get their tax returns and look at their overall picture, yeah, you say, all right, well, you said you make this, but this is what you actually show.
You do make it. You bring it in.
Right.
But a lot of it's washed out, and they're not doing anything wrong. They're taking advantage of the tax codes.
Exactly.
But, you know, when they net out all those expenses, they're left with, I had a truck driver one time, and he had, it was probably close to $1 million in gross revenue.
Sure.
Then when he washed it down, he's like $30,000.
Yes.
So, you know, what scares me, and I'm sorry to go off on a tangent real quick. When those clients, though, go online and do those rocket applications and things like that, they're probably going to put in, they make $1 million. So, my grandmother always said, junk in, junk out.
Correct.
that application that they just put in or pre-approval for a mortgage is no good because of their income doesn't support that.
Exactly.
So I apologize to do this, but this is a lot. This program is phenomenal for the self-employed. And who you were telling me, well, keep going, and then there's occupations that this really fits into.
Well, sure. This loan program is made for somebody who's either 1099 employee in the same position for over 2 years or self-employed. So there's two different ways that we actually will calculate income. You know, I'll get a little bit about credit first, and then we'll get into the income part. So the nice thing is to use a bank statement program, you only have to be 2 years out from any major event. So oftentimes, you know, people who are self-employed, they have more than just their business. They'll have rental properties that may have had a short sale or a foreclosure or a deed in lieu. Mm-hmm. They only have to be 2 years released from that obligation. We do want them to have a verifiable current housing payment. So if they rent, we want canceled checks for their rent or bank statements showing that they pay auto payment to their landlord, or a current mortgage is fine as well. We also want established credit. We do go all the way down to a 600 credit score, which is below what regular traditional conforming guidelines are looking at.
Right.
So, but overall, you're going to have a borrower with pretty good credit. And what we do for income is if they are at least 25% owner of the business or a 1099 employee, we'll allow them to use personal bank statements to qualify. So what we're looking at is cash flow versus their filed tax returns. And somebody might say, well, isn't this what got us in the problems
we had?
That's
what I was just going to say.
The last time.
The first thing somebody probably tells you as soon as you say that is, oh, now you're doing those junk loans again.
No. But here's why they're actually better than a traditional loan. When you qualify somebody, so let's just say you have a husband and a wife, and together they gross $7,000 a month or $84,000 a year. They don't actually take home $7,000 a month after taxes, 401k deductions, anything else. They may actually only take home $5,400 a year or so, maybe $5,000. So, but you're qualifying them off of $7,000.
Right.
On the personal bank statement program, we allow transfers in from one business account or cash counter deposits if that's the type of business that they do. We back out any other transfers. And we do look heavily at NSFs, overdrafts, or negative balances because
gotcha.
We want to see that they're fiscally responsible with the deposits that they have.
Yeah.
So if you have that same borrower who actually has an actual $7,000 a month coming into their account
deposits
versus that other W-2 borrower has $5,600 a month coming in, who actually has
that
more disposable
sense.
Income
that makes a lot of sense.
To pay their bills?
Because when you're qualifying for a mortgage, we use your gross income, meaning before all the taxes, everything. I mean, a lot of people have a 401k, this and that. So their net might be 50% when it's all said and done.
Correct.
Theoretically.
Yes.
So your money, the money you're using or accounting for, is truly what's going into their, it's their net income.
Right. It's the basically. Actual disposable money that they have to pay their bills. So it's actually a stronger qualification. It's just like you said earlier, these borrowers take advantage of the tax laws because
right.
they're there.
Got it.
So now we're going to flip over to somebody who's actually 100% owner of their business. We will allow them to use their business bank statements or their revenues, so basically their sales, to qualify.
Wow.
So how that works is we're going to take, if their credit score is over 660, they can use 12 months worth of business bank statements. If between 600 and 659, they'll need 24 months. And we're basically going to look at the revenues they have. Again, we look heavily at NSFs, overdrafts, or negative balances. So they're allowed one account, and then we're going to have them either prepare their own profit and loss statement, you know, that will dictate, you know, what their expenses are. Mm-hmm. Or we can get a letter from their accountant. We call it an expense ratio statement letter. So when your borrowers get to that point, you know, we can, you know, cover that, you know, in greater detail. So
okay. What
then we're looking at is the revenues that they've generated through the year, as well as their expenses, their true expenses, because obviously in their write-offs, there are certain things they get to write off, like depreciation, you know, and they may actually have included in their in their business returns for write-offs, their salary, but we're actually using this to qualify, so we don't want that in their expenses because we're counting this as income.
Is there a worksheet or something that people that we could use? Here's what I'm asking is there a spreadsheet that I can maybe put on our website that people can go to and actually figure it out themselves?
Yes,
no?
there's a guide, but it's. An underwriter is actually going to look at it because we have to actually look at every single line transaction.
Okay.
So we have to back out anything that's a transfer that's not income-related. We have to back out anything that would be large or unusual for the business.
Okay.
So like you said before, there's certain professions, you know, that are great for this. Really, anybody who owns a business is fantastic.
Yeah.
Anybody who's a 1099 employee is fantastic. Now, there are certain ones that we don't like to see. So anybody who has large or unusual deposits are not regular. So somebody who would be a home builder, you know, unless, you know, they're doing, you know, rehab work and, you know, fixing up houses where they have consistent deposits every month. Mm-hmm. But you could have a builder who sells a house, you know, this month, they put $300,000 into their account and they have no deposits again for the next 2 or 3 months. And then the next month they have $150,000 deposit. So their revenues over the course of the year would be high. However, they're not consistent. So that's something we don't like to see.
So wonder if that person has a 2-year history, would you possibly look out as a longer term to get a trend of it or no?
On something just, like that, no.
Okay, got it. Okay.
So we want to see consistent deposits.
It is what it is.
Yes.
Okay.
So somebody who's a professional gambler, that's something we would not be looking at. Somebody who's a day trader. Now, it's different if they work for a firm and they're 1099. Yes, we'll accept that because we're looking at the deposits coming in from that firm.
Okay.
But if they're just a day trader at home, that's something we would pass on.
How about a realtor?
A realtor, yes. If they're 1099 and have consistent deposits, yes. Okay. We look at that. Or somebody
that
owns a real estate
company.
Also,
it's funny because I had lunch with a realtor the other day, and we spoke about this program, and he's like, this can open the floodgates for a lot of my clients. So thank you, Jack. We're going to be back. The next segment, we're going to elaborate on this more. We're going to go dig into, you know, what loan to value you can go. What I mean by that is the loan to value. If you listen to the shows and my commercials, it's the loan to the value of your property. You'd be surprised on how high of a loan to value these go. We're going to dig down into, I have some more questions about the expense ratio and a couple other things, but I want to thank you for listening. Please don't turn the dial. Again, this is Dan Frio, The Mortgage Update. If you want to reach me personally, give me a call. It's 630-338-1160. Also, go to the web. I post all the radio shows in my podcast section. There's a tab there. It says YouTube and podcast or radio. You can go there and find anyone you want. We label them exactly what the program is about. You can find back episodes. So please don't go away. We'll be back in 2 minutes. God bless. And welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio. Today's show, I hope you're getting a kick out of this because it is awesome. The show is about bank statements and how business owners and people that are paid via 1099, and if you're a business owner or you're paid 1099 like a waitress, all kind of different people, this show is for you. So I want to, Jack is here with me. He's the underwriter of these loans for us, and he's elaborating to give you all the facts behind how and who qualifies for bank statement programs, and what's the parameters behind it. What credit score do you need? What credit history do you need? The biggest thing is loan to value. Because if the loan to value is basically, you know, minimal, meaning loan to value is the loan amount to the value of the home. So if it's minimal and it doesn't do you any good, then what's the good? So so we're going to go back. I forget where we left off.
Okay, so we were covering some of the professions.
Yes,
that,
go ahead.
That would we do. So I know you mentioned before, a waitress.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a waitress is a W-2 employee.
Okay,
that's fine. I mean, obviously you want to, you know, let people know what is available out there. So somebody who's truly a 1099 employee, oftentimes that's a salesperson, that's 1099.
How do Uber drivers get paid?
So Uber drivers get paid by basically a direct deposit into their account.
Sometimes is that considered 1099?
You can do it on an Uber driver because they're technically self-employed, but they have to be for 2 years.
It's crazy. I have more and more, and every year it gets bigger and bigger. And now the duration of how long they've done it is amazing. And there's good income in that.
Oh, sure.
If you're in the city.
Yes.
I was amazed. I think the last person that I worked on made 30,000-40,000 net.
Sure.
So their gross, their receipts would be
50-60.
A lot more than that.
Sure, of course.
So sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder, but that was just a question I had.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting more and more Uber drivers.
So somebody like an Uber driver, you're going to have direct money coming in from either Uber or Lyft.
Okay.
You know, so we're going to see those deposits. Now, those are the only deposits then you can qualify them off of. Because oftentimes, if you have somebody who's self-employed, they may have direct deposit coming from their business. Okay. And then they may also have some cash or counter deposits. Because in certain businesses, not everything is, you know, on the books.
Gotcha.
You know, so sometimes, you know, they'll get cash coming in for different things they may do. Now, when they deposit, you know, cash into their business account as well, you know, you're going to see different counter deposits or ATM, you know, deposits or just something that's not, you know, payroll directed.
Okay.
So into a personal account, you would see that as well. So if you've got somebody who is 25% of an owner of a business, and let's just say they take a paycheck every week for $2,000 a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a successful business. They're getting $2,000 a week. And then every quarter, they also take a quarterly bonus of, say, $15,000.
Okay.
So even though you see that direct deposit, they may actually get a check for $15,000 every quarter, and they're depositing that into their account. So it's not a money coming in directly from the business, but it's a counter deposit, ATM deposit that they're making. We will allow that as well.
Really?
Yes. So we also will allow their tax refund check to be counted as income, because that's money that they've you know, overpaid.
Paid out.
Yes.
Huh. Interesting. So, you know what? I actually had somebody asked me that, and I thought that would have to be deducted out as a tax return check. Okay.
Right. And then you would think that, but that's one of the nice things of the program.
Okay.
So, you know, you mentioned earlier the loan to value. So, you know, often you would think, all right, well, these are riskier loans, but really they're not. We'll actually go all the way down to a 600 credit score for these programs, but the average borrower on this program typically has over a 770 credit score.
We talked off the air about that, and that blew my mind.
Yes, I mean, that's a flawless borrower. They've never had a late on anything.
Okay.
That's the average. So, but like I said, we will go down to a 600 credit score. So that means somebody who's had some issues in the past.
Yeah.
So typically what we're looking for is we'll go all the way as high as a 90% loan to value, meaning somebody only has to put 10% down to buy a house.
Now, is that for if you're buying a home and or refinancing?
No. So so refinancing, typically we'll allow somebody to cash out up to 85%.
That's still awesome.
That's very
high. You can't even do that. Well, now you can. There are some programs conventionally you can do that.
Right.
But most of them aren't. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
To cash out, it'd be over 680. Or to 80% to cash out, you have to be over a 620 credit score.
Got it. Okay.
So, but a lot of these loans are done on the purchase side because a lot of self-employed borrowers have been neglected, if you will, over the last decade.
Right.
Because, you know, there just weren't programs available to them.
And that most people think subprime was just junk.
No.
And you and I have been doing this long enough. For years, that's all I did.
Sure.
And it served a purpose until it got just crazy.
Yes.
If you had a heartbeat and a 500 credit score, you got a loan.
Yes.
So this isn't that. This you explained to me. There was subprime, and then we all know in the business we all knew there was an alt A.
Correct.
So basically, it was awesome customers, but just with a weird, I'll say a weird scenario,
sure,
like a bank statement program or whatever. And that's what, you know, that borrower was alt A, meaning it was a great customer. But then when it went to subprime, it was the very low credited person getting into that program, but the banks needed the business, so they just created these things.
Well,
so
yeah, I mean, the way the program is run now is kind of a hybrid of the old Alt-A, as you mentioned, and the subprime. So it's the big difference today is opposed to, you know, 12 years ago or so, is borrowers have skin in the game. The borrower has to have money they're putting down. Whereas before, there were 100% NIDA loans, no income, no asset, no anything loans.
You know what? It was funny the other day. I said I was at lunch with the realtor, and they said the same thing. Oh, the NIDAs are back. And I'm like, not really.
Right.
So
So it's a misconception that, you know, these loans, they're bad loans. I mean, you could actually look up, you know, there's public knowledge. You know, you can look up any loans that have been securitized. And Fitch, who's one of the rating agencies, did something around March of this year on the loans that have been securitized. And out of over $4 billion in loans, over 11,000 loans, only 7 had gone into foreclosure.
Jeez.
That's it. That's nothing.
That's nuts.
Right. That's lower
than probably a bigger default on conventional loans.
Correct.
Wow.
So, you know,
okay.
But
never knew that.
The average loan to value on these loans overall, and we'll get into some of the other programs later on, is 72%. So that means this borrower has 28% equity in their home. They're not going to walk away from it.
They don't want to walk away.
They're going to do anything they can to save that home.
Gotcha.
And again, what a lot of borrowers have to remember, oftentimes, these are stepping stones. So, you know, when you're doing a loan on this, you know, oftentimes it's to get yourself back into a better situation. But, you know, on the bank statement loan, typically you're going to have really strong borrowers.
Okay.
So
rate-wise, now let's get on to this. And I don't mean to dwell on this, but the interest rate, the first thing I thought when Jack and I got together to kind of launch these programs is those rates are going to be astronomical because it's way outside the box. It's a niche program. And, you know, and they're going to have to pay the piper to get these. I was amazed on the rates that are offered.
Correct.
So it's not the, you know, 4 or 5%, but it's not far off.
Right. So obviously, I'm not a licensed loan officer.
Right.
So if somebody ever wanted to talk to me about rates, I cannot quote rates.
Right. But it's not far off the normal rates.
It is not.
Yes.
You know, so in these loans, you know, it's not like a traditional conventional loan you would do where, you know, you guys have a lot of points necessarily baked in the rate, you know, for offering stuff. So a borrower on these type of loans will have the option of potentially getting an even lower rate by paying points.
Right.
Or having, you know, something that's a little bit higher, you know, that has something built in.
I forget what you said to me when one of the first times we spoke about this program, you said when because a lot of clients, when they call, their biggest issue is, oh, what's the rate? You had a comeback on the rate scenario that
sure.
I said. Okay, go ahead. So, if you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically just when somebody tells you, well, why is the rate so high? Well, high compared to what? You know, if you've been to, you know, every major bank out there, the Wells Fargo's of the world, the Chase's of the world, your credit union, everybody's told you no. And you're coming to Dan, and Dan says, well, I've got this option for you. Here's what it is. Oh, why is the rate so high? Well, high compared to getting nothing? You know,
that
again,
was it. Yeah,
you know, this is an option for you. And again, the rates aren't high. You know, the worst thing that happened in this industry is rates were the lowest rates ever in history for over 6 years.
Right.
So people forget what normal rates are.
Right.
You know, before the industry crashed, an average 30-year fixed loan was around 7%.
And we're not even there now. I have people freaking out at 5.
Yeah.
And it just, to me, it was like, I remember 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I mean, you were talking 12, 15% adjustables.
Correct.
And now you tell somebody 5 and they're like, whoa, that's way too high. And it's like, way too high based on the lowest ever in history.
Right.
So that's a hard thing to come off of.
Yes.
So Jack is going to be back with us for the next few days. There's programs that we can offer you now that haven't been around in a long time. They're not subprime. Okay. That's what we want to make clear. They're not subprime. They're not junk loans. These are quality people getting quality loans just because you have to have great, you know, really good credit scores. The loan to values are there for you. It's basically to help those that kind of hit a roadblock in life. We all struggled. No matter what you did, you struggled 10 years ago, 2008, 2009, in that time frame. So what I'm asking you to do is if this, you know, if you like this, what we have to say, please give me a call. You can reach me personally at 630-338-1160. Go on the web. I'm going to have a lot of these programs on there. And Jack, what I am going to do is put that spreadsheet on there, how people can kind of figure out their own income. When you do it, what I ask you to do is please complete it. Send it to me. I'll have Jack review it if he can, or send it to those who are need, you know, who are above him to review that and get back with you. But I'll post that on the website. It's 1160mortgage.com. I want to thank Jack for being here today. And please come back. He's coming back on the next few shows with us to go over every program that we can help almost every person out there. Thank you so much. God bless. Have a good night.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense.